Thank you very much. Honourable members, you are most welcome. Thank you very much for this nice morning. Welcome the commission. Welcome the honourable members, officials. I think this is what the government employed for. This is what we are elected for. I think this is the time that let's exercise our mandates. So this will be the welcome of you, ladies and gentlemen, and members. Actually, is there any apology?
Yes, Chairperson. Honorable Tobajani will be back for the meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Tobajani. Sir?
Thank you, Chairperson. As discussed with you, I would like to be excused at just after 11, please.
Thank you, sir. Any apologies? Thank you. I think let's introduce ourselves before we start. Let me start to from you, Masoret Commission.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm Hans Meyer. I'm a magistrate serving the Magistrates Commission, and we're dealing with ethical issues countrywide. We are four at the moment. Our three ladies are not here, Ms. Lepesi and Ms. Choi. They have other commitments. But these are the reports which we'd like to deal with and on a regular basis.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm Andre Love, Magistrate of the Magistrates Commission, serving at the Magistrates Commission. Also, the vote at the Ethics Division dealing with these ethical matters. Thank you, United States.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Where can we start from the members? Start from you, sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Jihad Mohati, a member of the Committee on Security and Justice.
My name is Tabi Sowana, a member of the committee.
Lebogo Mokoele.
Jacques Julius, committee member.
Halerenki Malikoele, member of the Senate committee. Halerenki.
Good morning, my name is George Flakis, also a member of the committee.
Thank you, my name is Thomas Anikin, chairperson of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Dixon, I'm the secretary of the committee.
And different about the banking debt, I
have. Good morning, my name is Patricia, I'm the researcher with the committee.
Oh, me. Morning, Sharon Collins from PMG.
Thank you, honourable members. Honourable members, this is our agenda. We are in number four, briefing by the Masters Commission on suspension from office, Mr. M.T. Masinga. B, provisional suspension from office, Mrs. R.M. Malafela. C, progress report on conditional upliftment of provisional suspension, Mr. P.S. Hall. There is also be an additional progress report by is going to be come from the Master Commission. And honourable members, we have number five here, which was not there before. Briefing by Conduct Advisor on Master Salary Grievances. for their grievances here in this thing. I would like to the contact to brief us about these grievances. And then number six, reading of third and program. I would like the other members to either adopt this agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Where are we discussing the minutes? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. According to the structure, there's minutes were changed here.
Sorry, Chairperson. The 15th July was tabled last term. I don't think members have read the other 3 minutes, the 16th, the 28th, the 23rd, and the 28th, Chairperson. It was only tabled today.
Thank you. Yes, another
Chair, I think the question has not been responded to on members' releases, right? Because it's not on the agenda. If you're going to adopt the agenda as it is, it is not going to be between the ministry.
Yes.
We have to correct the agenda first.
Yes.
So that we can entertain. So I'm here at the table saying to us, I'm proposing at the table, let us slot the minutes under 4 or 5, for example. Because it's how it's supposed to be deposited. Thank you.
But we can adopt the minutes at least 4. Let's say 4D. Put this in the agenda for A, B, C. Sorry.
Chairperson, in the light of what has been said by Ms. Rico, I concur with that. We are accepting the agenda as it put in front of us. Because now dealing with the commission has got nothing to do with the means of the committee. Thanks.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah, sir. No, we do acknowledge that these minutes are for our said committee. But as we are adopting the agenda, we will of course propose that why don't we put the item as a sitting item on let's go so that we are able to deal with the meeting. Because if they are not in the agenda, we adopt the agenda, then that suggests that after we conclude the meeting, we must go out. Thank you.
Let's table the minutes after the bullet 6-8. Thank you. Tabling of the minutes. Thank you very much.
Can I get clarity? Is this the ordinary sitting of the select committee, or is it a special meeting convened specifically to deal with the issue of the commission?
It is our program, a select committee meeting, but the agenda for this meeting was for the commission actually, it's a select committee meeting, but the agenda, the main thing in the select committee meeting is getting a briefing from the Master Commission.
So that if it's an ordinary select committee meeting, we are obliged to have the minutes discussed. But if it was going to be a special meeting, we're supposed to deal with a specific matter and finalize it. But if you're saying it's an ordinary select committee meeting, therefore we are expected to have minutes.
Thank you, honourable members. I think we agree that let's put the minutes, let's deal with the agenda accordingly, and then after the Master Commission brings the committee.
Chairperson, I think for progress sake, I would suggest that we table the minutes on our next select committee meeting.
then we deal with the item as it is. We can't adopt the minutes after we have discussed other things, because definitely there are matters arising from these minutes that we need to discuss and seek clarity on other issues. So I would suggest that we take the minutes, we note them, that we are having them, we're going to go through them, and in our next committee meeting, then that we can table the minutes. Let's deal with the issue of the commission today as the agenda is it.
I think it's fine.
Agreed.
I think I agree with you, Honourable Member. Let's have to go because of time.
Yes.
Honourable Members, can we hand over to the Master Commission to brief the committee?
I'm not against what you're proposing. They're not much. I just want to. I want your undivided attention. I don't know if that's just my delivery or what. No, thanks, Chair. I'm just making an appeal also to the team. Can you please avail the minutes of this meeting, after this meeting, so we can ourselves produce the minutes next time at the next meeting, and also the omission that is there should be corrected the next time when you say. So it must not be waste a minute of the time of the meeting engaging around the minutes. Just to caution the group. I'm making a appeal to the team that ensure that we stipulate the minutes in advance so we can be familiar to ourselves that when we are just move and so on to all raise where there are issues of omission at it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anyone more against that? Thanks. Can we proceed? Okay. Let's proceed. Over to you, Master Commission.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, the first matter is in the suspension from office of Mr. Masinga. You recall that in terms of the Act, the Minister, once the Commission has recommended that the magistrate be suspended from office or removed from office on account of inter alia misconduct, the Parliament, well, the Minister must suspend that particular magistrate from office. He has no discretion in that regard, and that a report must be tabled in Parliament within 14 days of such suspension. The Minister suspended Mr. Masinga, if I'm not mistaken, on the 17th of July this year, and filed a report very same day in Parliament. So that is within the parameters of the Act. Chairperson, it is now for Parliament to pass a resolution in terms of Section 34 of the Act, the Magistrates Act, to either restore or not to restore Mr. Masinga to the office of Magistrate. Now, Mr. Masinga was criminally charged with attempted murder. He appeared in court on the 19th of March 2009. This matter comes a long way. He was found guilty and sentenced to 10 years imprisonment, which he takes on appeal. The matter was referred on review, and that review was dismissed, but he's taking it on appeal again. And it will only be, well, it has only been set down. And the appeal court, or the High Court, the full bench of the High Court, if I'm not mistaken, next year, April, I believe. Chairperson, that the Commission commenced with its misconduct inquiry. Mr. Masinga was charged with 3 counts of misconduct on the 8th of February 2010. He was properly notified, and we had a full-fledged hearing. It's a prolonged hearing. He was properly given the opportunity to cross-examine all the witnesses for the Commission. There were even more witnesses who testified for the Commission than there were in the criminal trial. It is alleged that he, with a blunt and part of the act, tried to kill his wife and assaulted his 3 daughters. Chairperson, he was found guilty on misconduct, and the chairperson, or the presiding officer rather, recommended that Mr. Masinga be removed from office due to misconduct. terms of our regulations, he was given 21 days to lodge with the Commission for Written Representations. Although this was submitted late, the Commission nevertheless considered his representations and resolved to recommend to the Minister that he be removed from office. The Commission is of the view that Mr. Masinga's conduct set out the charges of which he was found guilty is so serious that it justifies his removal from office. His apparent failure to prosecute his appeal, or maybe was just he didn't file his plan affidavit timely. The sudden matter was referred again back to the Court of Appeal, and the DPP set it now down for April next year. Chairperson, and the fact that he that the Director of Crown Prosecution may launch an application for his bail to be cancelled, he would be incarcerated. Commission is of the view that this conduct finds him unfit, renders him unfit to hold the office of magistrate any longer. His current provision is suspended and he's not receiving any remuneration. In terms of the legislative requirements, like I said, the Minister filed this report. He suspended Mr. Masinga on the 17th of July this year and filed his report the very same day. So it's within the 14 days the Act allows him to do that. I want that very brief to Chairperson. Thanks, Jan. Honourable members, I think we have got documents in front of you. I think let's tackle this Masinga case first and then come to another one. Are there any questions or clarity from the Commission? Thank you, sir.
Chair, thank you very much. Can I pose a few questions? One, I just want to check, what is the purpose of submission of this report? Is it to inform us or for the committee to take the resolution? If that's the case, then I would try to establish why under purpose is written. The purpose of this report is to inform the parliament. Then if you go to page 4, under bullet 4.3, in parliament must then, as soon as it's reasonably possible, pass a resolution as whether or not the restoration of his office of the magistrate is suspended is recommended. If one can get clarity on that, that's a good answer. Thank you. And if you go to page 3, Mr. Masinga under bullet 3.4 is provisionally suspended from office and receives no remuneration. The implication, what does it mean? Is it denying the provisions of the Labor Relations Act, or what is the determination of the Commission? Those are my two questions for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the first question, once the Commission recommends that a magistrate must be removed from office, the Minister must suspend that particular magistrate from office in terms of Section 13.3 or 4 of the Act. And this report is to inform Parliament that the Minister already suspended Mr. Masinga from office on the 17th of July. But now he files this report in Parliament to pass a resolution, because this still has to pass Parliament to confirm the suspension, the removal from office. In terms of the Act, that's why the report is filed, to consider, to pass a resolution, not to restore or to restore Mr. Masinga to office. So Mr. Masinga's provision is suspended from office pending the investigation into his fitness to hold office. That investigation has now been finished. He's found guilty. Now the Minister must either, he must suspend him, or if he's acquitted, uplift the suspension, which must be confirmed by Parliament. Since that's been done, then the Minister must pass a resolution, not minister. Parliament must pass a resolution not to restore and not to restore. With regard to the salary chairperson, as you said, our public office bearers are judicial officers and they are not subjected to any labour law. Labour law is not applicable to them. So once he was convicted, the commission warranted it and he had the opportunity also to respond to that. When he was convicted of attempted murder, the commission was of the view that it was justified to take his remuneration, and this was confirmed by Parliament. And this is also in terms of the Van Rooyen, Van Rooyen judgment in the Constitutional Court, which allows the commission to determine to withhold the remuneration in terms of the Act, even if they are provisionally suspended from office. But of course it will be an extremely difficult circumstances and extensive angles. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mantule.
Yes, yes, indeed. Thank you. So, let me thank the presentation and the summary that has been presented to us and help us manage to keep things very good and also with regard to the response. Because since we are the responsibility of the commission, I'm of the select committee to ensure that where we confirm the recommendation from the magistrate commission or not, we don't confirm. So before we pronounce ourselves as a committee, we pronounce that we confirm, which I don't have a problem of confirming. I just want this small clarity and reassurance actually from the members there, because of the last part said that they're intending to them to consider that they need to be concerned and they can be increasing. So that one says this is not yet being done as we speak today. We're going to track the reason then to ensure that the process to cancel the bill has been started or not. So if it is not started the process to cancel the bill, when will that be done? Should it happen that this committee will confirm the recommendation of the magistrate commission? When, how quickly will that process be facilitated so that it's standardized? We want to find ourselves that we've agreed, we've confirmed what I said, this is something that's hanging in our head. But we do have confidence in the magistrate commission because we have time to ensure, because the report is that we have outlined how long has this case has been there. From 2009, it shows that it's the public out there. There is a shortage of magistrates. So on top of that, there is a magistrate who are not doing their right. So that is one reason that I want us to, propose that we confirm. But if I can get clarity, then I'll be able to do that. Thanks.
If I may respond, one must clearly distinguish between the criminal trial against Mr. Masinga and a disciplinary inquiry. Those are two totally different processes. Even if Mr. Masinga succeeds on appeal, his conviction on the balance of probability still stands with regard to the disciplinary inquiry. And the allegations against him of which he was found guilty are so serious that he's found to be unfit to hold the office of magistrate. That's why he has to be removed. That is the recommendation of the commission to be removed from office. Irrespective of whether his bail is going to be cancelled, he took the matter on appeal. The judges on appeal referred the matter on review. It was quite a strange process. Then he was given a certain date to submit his replying affidavit, which he failed to do. And then EPP set it on the roll again. But in the meantime, we're not sure what the bail applications are at the moment. But the matter is on the roll only for April next year. So I don't think they can cancel the bail at this moment.
Thank you. Honourable one, I'll give the time for... thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me echo the same issue that Thank you for the presentation. To me, Chairperson, it's been a very long time. And if we are the body to take a decision, let me clarify if saying this. If you go through the charges that have been done by Mr. Master, doesn't warrant to be a magistrate. Mere fact a public officer be involved in attempted murder doesn't allow anybody to be in the office. I move that this person has been discharged or dismissed. Thank you.
Honourable
Member Bowler,
on to
other
follow-up.
No, thanks. I second the proposal that was done by Honourable Wana Tabisuwana. So, as a select committee, we confirm the recommendation by the Magistrate Commission. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can we proceed to the second one, which is Mrs. R. M. Malasin. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. This is requested. The purpose of this call from by part of the Minister is to confirm the Minister's decision to provisionally suspend Ms. Malasela from office, pending the Commission's investigation into her fitness of office. So she has not been found guilty as yet. It is just that the Commission is of the view that pending this investigation to a fitness to office, the misconduct inquiry, that she should not be at the office. She is an assistant magistrate at Delmas. She's 51 years of age and has been appointed to the lower court bench on the 1st of November 2004. She is still on probation. Her permanent appointment could not be finalized due to poor performance, irregularities in work, absenteeism from office, refusal to execute lawful orders, major delays in judgments, etc., failure to finalize matters, and poor utilization of court time. The evaluation reports, which had to be filed 6 months basis, indicated that she's not fit and proper person for appointment as a magistrate. Now, the matter was therefore referred to from the Appointments Committee of the Commission to the Ethics Committee, who recommended that a preliminary investigation be conducted in terms of our regulations, and that she be charged with 4 counts of misconduct. The Ethics Committee, however, resolved, having considered the preliminary investigation report, not to charge her with misconduct due to the lapse of time, and considered to held a meeting with her and sent a delegation of the appointments in the Ethics Committee to her and Ms. Fulgum, her head of previous head of office, to try and resolve the strained relationships or the relationship between her and her initial head of office. Now, 2 visits were scheduled with her without any success, and the issues at hand, of course, deteriorated. Then our chief magistrate, the head of the National Judicial Quality Assurance of Victoria, also serving the Magistrates Commission, indicated in an internal memorandum that Ms. Malasela was for considerable periods absent from office and in detail to explain her absence. She couldn't satisfy the Commission that she is a fit and proper person to be appointed as a magistrate. Little medical reports indicated that she suffered from major depressive disorder and panic disorder, and that the condition does not render her unfit to work, but she has to continue with monthly psychotherapy and medication. Chairperson, in a report dated the 18th of October 2011, recommended that she does not have the capacity to carry out her duties at office in an efficient manner due to continued ill health, and that she furnished reasons in terms of Regulation 29 of the regulations why we should not conduct such an investigation, that's known in that investigation into her continued ill health. The committee, the Ethics Committee, resolved on the 1st of December to refer the matter back to the Appointments Committee to recommend to the Minister not to appoint Ms. Malasela on a permanent basis. But then the Commission's Executive Committee
refer the matter back to the Ethics Committee in order to consider whether Ms. Velasquez should be charged with misconduct and to direct a separate investigation in terms of Regulation 29. That's a Regulation 29 investigation into a continued inhale. The Ethics Committee resolved that a judicial quality assurance report from her judicial witness be submitted for consideration. That's still to be done. Well, no, there was a report done, compiled by two senior magistrates and covered the period 2010 to August 2012. We are again in the process to have such an investigation conducted, a quality assurance assessment. But following concerns were raised in that report that Ms. Malasquez made mistakes in criminal court that were not in line with her experience on the bench, and the fact that she's been appointed in 2004 and had a negative impact on the rights to a fair trial. This is the basic rights were not extended to the accused. Similarly, she makes mistakes in the family court, not reflecting her years of experience. She has a long outstanding debt for private phone calls from the landline of the office. Various complaints resulted in an allocation to the reception court. Partly that matters prior to 2010, so it's yet to finalize. And there's a history of strained relationships between Ms. Malasquez and the local attorneys, the prosecutors, and administrative staff. Her agenda from office has reduced since she works in the reception court. She has a tendency to be absent on Mondays, which extends to Wednesday. Then, accordingly, the committee, the Ethics Committee, resolved on the 6th of September 2012 that she should be exposed to enable the additional six months probation under the guidance of a board member, namely acting judge, judicial head of office. The previous head of office retired due to continued ill health, also requested the minister to vacate office, and we appointed an acting person. And she filed a report, and although the gist of the report was predominantly positive in nature, the acting judicial head of office was not prepared to make a recommendation for a permanent appointment. She says it was difficult to write a comprehensive report due to the fact that the measure was during a period of extended probation, absent for 39 days, 31 days for vacation, and 8 days for sick leave. That she was evaluated on her work done at the reception court, and the statistics she provided raised many questions as to productivity. She often arrives late at work, doesn't attend and sign the circulars or correspondence which she must sign, and her dedication to her work is questionable. The Treasury Court hold is not finalized on the allocated court day. It is visible on a regular basis. No complaints were lodged against Ms. Malasquez on 24th of February last year. The control prosecutor revealed that she, in a certain case, helped an inquiry into the accused's failure to attend court and found him not guilty, despite the fact that he bailed finally for fair to the state on the previous occasion. The warrant of arrest was not cancelled by the magistrate, and he refused to sign circulars and official communication. Like I said, failure to finalize the inquiries despite reminders, and she left the office without finalizing the court roll. So the judicial head office did not see her open to discuss anything with her, and that relationship has also become strained to such an extent that she doesn't want to take any instructions from her acting head of office at the moment. Then further complaints were received on the 7th of May last year, inter alia that the inquest mentions that they were not submitted. The magistrate did not return on the 2nd of May 2013 from leave, and eventually handed in a sick note for the 2nd and the 3rd of May. She did not submit the monthly statistics on the 26th of April. She also did not on the 6th of May 2013 after various reminders. She only did so after 2 weeks. She did not respond to a reminder from commission. Just the report proceeds. There are indeed quite a various lot of incidents which indicate that she is not fit to hold the office whilst we are conducting the investigation. There's also an indication that she fell asleep in court. She did not honor her bond payments, which resulted in the repossession of her house and the selling thereof in a public auction. And now this is Delmas. This is a small place despite court order for eviction, that's a high court order, she refused to vacate the property for a year and left the home in neglected and domestic stress. She often arrives late at work. She takes extensive vacation sick leave. She doesn't attend to case law meetings. Her backlog court was created to accommodate her. She can cope with a normal court role, so we had to get an external agency from another court to deal with the outstanding court roles. Like I said, statistics were not submitted in time, and she often takes off from work during official working hours. Accordingly, the commission, at its meeting held on the 22nd of May, resolved to conduct another preliminary investigation in order to obtain evidence to determine whether there are any grounds for charge of misconduct. And the investigation report was considered by the Ethics Committee, and the Ethics Committee recommended to the full commission that she be charged with 39 grounds of alleged misconduct, and this charge sheet was considered by the full commission and signed by the chairperson and served on her on the 5th of March 2014. She, on the 18th of June this year, filed a notice of motion to the High Court, citing the Magistrate Commission and the Minister of Justice, respectively as the first and the fourth respondent. She applied for an order of the court to declare the commission's decision to charge her with misconduct to be wrongful and unlawful. And this application is still to be heard, applications to be opposed, consultation with counsel has already taken place on behalf of the Minister and the Commission. 7 of the civil judgments taken against her were handed down at the court where she is a judicial officer. And today she has an outstanding private telephone account in excess of 30,000 rand at the Downers Courthouse. Chairperson, having considered Ms. Malashida's response, and having noted the fact that she filed a notice of motion in the High Court, the Commission on the 11th of July 2014, however, resolved to recommend that Ms. Malashida be provisionally suspended from office in terms of Section 13(3)(a) of the Act, pending the misconduct inquiry into a person to hold office. The Commission is of the view that the existing evidence against her is of such a serious nature that it should justify her to be provisionally suspended from office whilst this investigation is to be conducted. It would also be appropriate for a judicial officer against whom so many civil judgments were taken and handed down from the courthouse which works as a judicial officer to still sit on the bench at that particular office. The said judgments against her impact negatively on the good name, dignity, and the esteem of the Office of Magistrates and the administration of justice. The excessive outstanding debt for private telephone calls made from the office telephone similarly has the same effect. There has been doubt for many years as to whether she is fit and proper to be appointed as a magistrate. Her conduct in both the private and professional capacity reflects negatively on her integrity. Chairperson, then the authority to provisionally suspend, having considered the Commission's recommendation, the Minister provisionally suspended Ms. Malashida on the 17th of July. In terms of Section 13(3)(b) of the Act, the Magistrates of the Minister must file a report in Parliament within 7 days, and this was done within, on the very same day, so we are still within the legal prescripts. Chairperson, is this for this, for Parliament then, for this House, to confirm the provisional suspension or not to confirm the provisional suspension from office of Ms. Malashida pending the investigation into a fitness of the office? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, listening to the Magistrate just now, first made me wonder whether Ms. Malashida is going to add the group of us after today to a list of respondents in her application, but that be left there. I just want to know, on in the report added to the letter that the Minister wrote to the Speaker, at point 2.3, it says that the Magistrates Commission's Ethics Committee resolved, due to the lapse of time, not to charge her with misconduct. That was initially. Can you just tell me who was responsible for that lapse of time? And then the more important question that I want to ask is, is she being, while she's preliminary suspended, is she being remunerated in this period as well? If so, how long is this period going to take of the investigation and then the final suspension, should that be necessary? Because the last thing I want is for her, if she's guilty, to sit at home for a long while and receive a salary for absolutely doing nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I give you on to welcome Khosi Twizan, chairperson of petition. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Chair, can I start with a few questions first? One, what is the duration of the conviction? Two, I also want to check, in terms of Bullet 2.9, the commission's executive referred the matter back to the ethics committee. When was it? Then the Bullet 2.4, two visits to see if it's normal as hell without any success. What was that? What was the reason? I think I'll make a follow-up because the other one was covered by 2.3 Bullet. Who contributed to the lapse and what was the consequence? Maybe if I could make the rider on the question posed by Honorable Nicholas.
You may just want to straight, don't see other hands. Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe we should start with the 2.4. Like I said, the Ethics Committee, having received the preliminary investigation report, the first preliminary investigation report, which actually recommended that she be charged with misconduct, resolved that due to the strained relationships, her relationship between Ms. Malashele and the then head of office, judicial head of office, that they would rather have a visit and see whether they could try and resolve the issues. Maybe there were other avenues which we could resolve the issues at hand amicably. And that's why the two visits took place under 2.4. There were there was a delegation from the members of the Magistrates Commission and a delegation from the Appointments Committee as well as the Ethics Committee to try and get these two ladies together in a roundtable discussion trying to resolve these matters. What actually happened is they both appointed attorneys and they never actually participated in the discussions. No discussions could take place. And that's why the issues at hand deteriorated as well. And to such an extent that there were even threats from Ms. Malashele against Ms. Fortune. These are only allegations, but this then is for Yun to leave the office, to vacate the office, and ask the minister to go on early retirement or on continued health. She was also taken ill. So that was the reason why there was such a delay, because the two visits, to get all the parties together with the legal representatives, it took about 2 years. And that was without any results, positive results. And therefore, the Commission again requested the Appointment Committee to consider to write a letter to the Minister in terms of the contract which was signed. And in terms of the contract, Ms. Monsieur is still on probation, that she's not fit and proper to hold the office and be permanently appointed as a magistrate. But the Executive Committee of the Commission, I'm not sure exactly when, but soon thereafter, resolved that it should rather refer the matter back to the Ethics Committee. We have a legal opinion also that although there's a contract signed, and the contract makes provision for the fact that if a magistrate does not cope or does not comply with the provisions of the contract and is found guilty, there are allegations of poor performance or whatever the case may be, then there's a breach of contract that that the minister should terminate a contract, but the commission of the view that it should be dealt with in terms of as a permanent magistrate, and that then the way to deal with it is to proceed with a fully fledged misconduct inquiry. The commission also obtained a legal opinion in that regard, which supports this view. One may have a different view on that, but that's the current situation. So we have to conduct a preliminary investigation in terms of Regulation 29 and have a move from office to terminate the service. In the meantime, she is on provisional suspension. Yes, she is still getting remuneration. The remuneration aspect is something that's been dealt with totally different on a different level. The commission can determine at any stage either a provision on provisional suspension or a suspended magistrate to determine to withhold remuneration, but this is not the case in this regard. It depends. We are ready. A date of hearing, a notice of hearing has already been set on Ms. Valachev's attorney. It depends on what is facing placed in dispute and how fast we can commence with this misconduct inquiry. We've already appointed a person leading the evidence and a presiding officer, so we would really like to expedite the misconduct inquiry and to have it finalized and concluded as soon as possible. But it depends. I mean, if they raise points, eliminate, if they cross-examine, one can never know exactly what the time actions will be. But Jefferson, it is the commission's view that we should proceed with this as soon as possible. And you said already a notice of hearing. I think that's...
Thank you.
Yes.
Honourable
one.
Oh, yes. Wonderful
afternoon. No. Specifically on bullet 23. And there was a lapse of time. Who was responsible? Any consequence for whoever that contributed to the lapse?
Chairperson, like I said, the preliminary investigation report recommended that she be charged with misconduct. Then the ethics committee resolved that due to 2.4, because the ethics committee initially resolved that there must be a delegation. And for the appointments committee, as well as the ethics committee, to visit these two people. You will note, Chairperson, that due to the lapse of time, not to charge her, because there was these visits still took place, and that took about 2 years. Initially, they said that she must be charged, but then they said no, we rather prefer that this relationship must amicably be resolved. Maybe it's not correctly worded in the report. 2.4 should actually be read before 2.3, Chairperson. So that was a time delay.
Yes, sir. Chairperson, if you can I make a follow-up. You know why am I so concerned? It's because Ms. Malasela was appointed on the 1st of November 2004. We announced it in 2014. Subsequent to her probation, there were areas of absenteeism, poor performance, refusal to execute lawful orders and other related issues, which were handled by then the commission to institute charges. Unfortunately, it never took place. Elaborately, when I was asking about bullet 2.9, if you check bullet 2.9 is directly relating to 2.3, because it's also talking about the very same misconduct, which did not even take place. Because if you check in terms of 2.8, that is why I'm not sure. The Honourable Magistrate just indicated, Commissioner, just indicated that he can't recall the date specifically when the matter was referred to them. Now, if you check, it's subsequent to 2.8, where then, as the Ethics Committee resolved not to persuade any matter further, but to recommend non-appointment of Mrs. Mahlalela on a permanent basis. Unfortunately, the executive committee recommended that the third person be charged. Again, I'm not sure whether it was still 2011 or whatever date. But if you go further, Chair, to bullet 2.18, according to the commission's committee at its meeting held on the 22nd of May 2013, again resolved to conduct preliminary investigation in terms of regulation to determine whether there are grounds of charge of misconduct. I'm saying, honestly speaking, there's no justification because in most time, you always hear justice delayed is justice denied, you know. So I'm just asking myself, what is the justification of a delay? A matter that has been dragged was earlier on, I also asked, what was stipulated? Because when you get appointed, there will be a stipulation or contract that your probation will be for this particular period. I didn't get an answer. I'm not sure what was the rationale behind that. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, based on this, it's very clear that this matter has been dragged, and I'm not sure whether any justification out of the report that you get. Well, cite an example. From 2004 to the 22nd of May 2013, still a matter in terms of Bula 2.18, still a matter of conducting investigations, still discussed. So honestly speaking, I'm saying there's no justification in terms of how this matter of this poor magistrate was dealt with. So I'm not sure whether there's any specific reason that warranted that this matter be dragged for so long. Because if you check, Chairperson, there's been reports, for example, 2.7, 2.7, there was a medical report on October 2011. Is it a problem of incapacity with regard to the magistrate, or is it a problem of health? I don't know, you know. So I'm just asking myself, Chairperson, why was this matter dragged from 2004 to date? Justification,
thanks. Honorable Wana, and then Honorable, yes, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Oh, I'll check.
I did read, and I'm just repeating some of the issues. First of all, before Mrs. Malalahlelela appointed as a provincial, what was her post before she was given this probation of being a provincial, what she called? Yes. And how long have you been in that post before you were even promoted? It took up to first promoted to this post.
Julius?
Thank you, Jay. Mine is just the surety of fairness. You can read further in the reports what actually transpired during this time. But if you look at bullets of all number 7 of the report, the medical report indicated that she suffered from major depressive disorder and panic disorder. Further, it says the condition does not render her unfit to work, but she has continued with monthly psychotherapy and medication. Now, this medical report, is it Mrs. Malahlelela's reports or from the department, whose medical reports are these? Because it will give us a clear indication on fairness for me. You know, if a person is incapacitated due to ill health, we might look at it differently. Number 8, a report dated 18 October recommended that she does not have the capacity to carry out the duties. A report, again, whose report, from where does the report come from? You know, it's difficult to say a report. If it says a report from X, Y, and Z, it's better to understand all the allegations made here are still a lot of allegations that for me is difficult to understand if there's no proof. Your absenteeism records would really describe what actually transpired. It's difficult to put it in here, but then again it should be stated here. Mrs. Malasela, somewhere I read, I can't find it now, responded somewhere why she should not be provisionally suspended. I checked this in the next year, but I can't find the next year in these documents that you gave us. I wanted to see her response why she should not be provisionally suspended, because it's not anything, it's not proven yet. And I don't see how I can make a judgment and be sure that I'm fair if I confirm this provisionally suspending Mrs. Palasela based on this alone. I can't really see. But if you can show me her response and also whose reports are these in 7 and 8, then maybe it will shed light on the fairness of this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chetty.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is just a follow-up to what both the Honorable Mikolakis and the Honorable Bobby was talking about. And I think our concern is where you get this due to the lapse of time. That is critical. We need to find out where the onus of that comes from first. Because if I take into consideration what the officials that have said to us, 2.4 should have went before 2.3. If you do that, Chair, it means this was in 2009. And then if you look at what 2.18 is 2013. Now, that's a serious indictment, Chair. Because in 2009, the Ethics Committee decided, due to the lapse of time, not to charge her with misconduct. And then, 2013, we decide of reopening the previous for charges of misconduct against her. Now, it is gross negligence. I'm not as polite as the Honorable Mahathir. And we'll talk about gross negligence and incompetence. Because now, Chair, what we also look at is the financial implications of the salary paid out from then, right up until going forward until the that's finalized. And like I said, I'm not being polite. I'm saying gross negligence and incompetence. Because in 2009, when we could have and should have dealt with this issue, there was a so-called loophole over the lapse of time. And then you come back and say, no, okay, let's go back and reinstitute those charges. It just doesn't make sense to me, Chair.
Thank you. Can I respond, Mr. Chair? Thank you, Chair. This is really a difficult matter which the Commission also has to deal with. There's a lot of things to be considered. And the Commission really tried to accommodate Ms. Malasela. Initially, there was this the report that he was not fit to be permanently appointed. So that first report, that first probation report, was on the ground of that. The probation period was extended. Then these charges came, these allegations came. There was a preliminary investigation conducted. First of all, we had to request an appointments committee to consider to recommend to the minister that she not be appointed. Of course, you have to write Ms. Marcella a letter and say, these are the allegations against you. We are in the process of considering to recommend to the minister that you not be appointed on these and these grounds and to terminate your services in terms of the contract. The appointments committee rather thought that we should refer to the ethics committee, and we obtained a legal opinion. This also takes time. When it became the ethics committee, resolved to conduct a preliminary investigation. The first preliminary investigation report considered and recommended that she be charged. The ethics committee resolved not to charge her, but that a roundtable discussion be conducted and convened, like I said, between Ms. Marcella and her previous head of office, Ms. Fulun. This could not take place. It took months, and even more than a year to try and resolve this. It did not materialize, and it's very unfortunate because Ms. Marcelo wasn't willing to cooperate. And of course, the strange relationship between Ms. Sudin and Ms. Marcelo didn't make it easier either. The fact that they both appointed legal representatives didn't take the matter any further. Then the Ethics Committee again wanted to request the Appointments Committee to reconsider its recommendation to the Minister and to recommend to the Minister on the fact of the breach of conduct of breach code of the breach of the contract to terminate Ms. Malasera's services. The Appointments Committee referred the matter to the Executive Committee. The Executive Committee said no, we have changed the legal opinion, we're not going to go through this route. You have to conduct a fully fledged misconduct inquiry if you want to discharge her. So that's when the matter again was considered by the Ethics Committee. We again conducted a preliminary investigation. In the meantime, Ms. Marcella was absent from office. She, to such an extent that the Commission then regarded, the Ethics Committee considered to conduct a 29 investigation into a continued era. This was between the period 2010 and 2012. And she visited doctors, various doctors, and the report submitted by these doctors that she's fit. I quote it here, Ms. Malasera's special psychiatrist, this is not in the report, Mr. Chair, Dr. Darko concludes in his report dated the 11th of October 2013 that there are no grounds on which to consider e-health retirement due to psychiatric reasons. In his report dated the 30th of November 2010, Dr. Chabalala, another psychiatrist, as her psychiatrist, indicated that Ms. Marcella suffers from bipolar mood disorder and that this has a profound effect on her performance as a magistrate. She however lacks the insight into the nature of the illness and completely rejected the diagnosis. She would not take a prescribed medication and not attend treatment sessions regularly. This doesn't imply that she is not functional. As long as she denies the presence of her illness, she will blame her unenviably position on others. Based on the findings as fully set out in the reports, the Commission resolved not to proceed with an inquiry into a continued ill. So there was this Regulation 29 inquiry also. So the Commission said, now we can't proceed because the doctors say that because of the lack of insight of her, that she is suffering from bipolar mood disorder, that we proceed and again file, and now we must understand that new complaints were coming in all the time. And then the Ethics Committee got had to ultimately make a finding and say, well, let's do another preliminary investigation. That's the latest preliminary investigation conducted. And that's where the 29 charges of misconduct emanate from. So it is really a lengthy process. We tried to accommodate her, but it was also really a lack of cooperation from her side. You have to ask the attorney, or then they don't come back to you. Or you ask her, she appointed an illegal representative, she wouldn't respond. It's also a pity, and it is not in the interest of herself, and in the interest of justice, and in the interest of the Commission to prolong this matter. That's why the Ethics Committee ultimately put the matter before the full Commission, and it was resolved that she now charged this misconduct and that we get a final resolution in this regard. And given the seriousness of the charges, that pending the investigation, this misconduct investigation, should be provisionally suspended from office.
Thank you. Another one from Monday.
Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, it is important for us to contextualize, you know, what, where do we stand. In the beginning, we had the Merced Commission, the secretary there presenting in terms of what work the Magistrate Commission does, and in particularly the composition of the
of the Muslim Commission, and including the committees that are established, including the ethics committee and the appointment committee and the rest. So, in my assessment, besides all the, you know, the glaring faults and gaps and things in the process, you see, at all times, the test that as parliamentarians we need to do when we are called to do work lies emphatically on because we are representatives of the people, is to what impact does anything, any mistake or any error, on the people. So, Chair, the fact of the matter is that whether there's somebody committed an error which is separate matter from what we are about, the service delivery of justice or access to justice to people, there are issues of performance which cannot be challenged, as a matter of fact. And therefore, Chair, I think if even what is presented and what members are raising, if we were asked to confirm or pronounce on a request for a removal from office of Marcel, I think it could have been we would have come to the conclusion different, I think. But what this what is required of us is a provisional suspension, which means which normally checks the normal course of practice when there are investigations going and that kind of thing. And I think, Chair, what is coming out of the members is giving a kind of a line to say, we have identified these faults, we've identified these gaps, including what happened in the entire decade of this matter. So now we hope that we express that you correct some of these things. The ethics committee should make sure that it undertakes its responsibilities with the fairness of members, principles that they've raised, process issues that they have. So I think provisional suspension is, for me, is what has happened warrants a call for a provisional suspension, because then it will assist to come to a proper conclusion, which they are still going to come back to us on what has happened with the misconduct. So I'm proposing that we endorse the provisional suspension as such.
Thank you, Honourable Anna and Honourable Marcella, Honourable Judith, the last person.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Yes. Oh! In Tela, very agent cooker.
Honourable Mukta.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure about the hookers, why? But now my hand was up even before the second round. I'm not sure if the field can be different. So I have to wait for the chair to pronounce on the caucus or what, because I want to make an input. Can you allow me? Can you allow me to make an input? Okay, thank you. Chair, I'm Chen, I want to align myself with an echo what Honorable Mandela raised, based on the Magistrate Act 13E. Saying the provisions, I'm quoting, the provisional suspension of the magistrate in case of paragraph A lapses after 60 days from the date of suspension unless the commission within period commence inquiry into the allegation in question by causing within notice of containing allegation questions and magistration. So furthermore, if inquiry set with the paragraph E must be concluded as soon as possible and commission must cause a report in progress in respect of inquiry to be submitted to the Parliament every 3 months. So, based on this, the Magistrate Commission now is obliged by the Act, they have to comply. Previously, you see what has been presented to us, it was based on the Ethics Committee and Commission subcommittee of the, and now the provisional suspension is on the Act. And also the they stipulated that they also have to keep a progress report within every 3 months. So the SOL Parliament has also whether to review the provisional suspension or to make a suspension. So the Act also empowers us. So I'd like to second what Honourable Mandela phrase that we note the issues that have been raised by the members. Since there were some negligence or stall, the impression to us is that the Ministry Commission has been stalling the process. But I would like to say that to me, it was since that there was a human part of it. There's a reason why the process has been given a chance. Let them give the Ministry the chance to be able to go because of things well. The Mika's report is saying, still emphasizing that it does not mean that it's not fit to hold office. So the legality of it should have us be proceeded without taking consideration the medical report. Then the magistrate could have taken the Ministry Commission to court to raise these issues. Now, after such a lengthy period, now the Act says that within 50 days they have to finalize the conclusion and also the ensure that there is cookies, the charges are being analyzed. And 3 months later, to come back to us and say, here's the report with regards to the case that is there. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Mkwele?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I was just checking whether I will be out of line a bit to check the processes that you take when disciplining a magistrate. And then as I'm going through, browsing through the report, I could see that the very same person that we are here about has been having a very serious health issues from the, what do you call it, probation period, the first probation period, and it was extended, that period was extended, and still the challenges of health has been an issue time and time again. So I want to check whether your process following the disciplinary and align myself with the latter speakers, Honorable Nzimande and Manopole, that at the end of the day we need to abide by the regulations of the Act. To say you must come for us to uplift the suspension. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was still on Honorable Jeff, the DIT caucus. Is your caucus?
Yes, Chair. We caucused. I don't know the outcome of the NG caucus, but we caucused. We are actually covered. We support. Thank you, Chair.
Order. What I was requesting as a comment, I thought you were here as leaders from different portfolio candidates. I'm not looking for a caucus of the individual. If you are part of the committee, because I know I cannot request a caucus of the individual with other parties. I'm wanting as a committee, we have the same understanding. Because what has been done, that's why I want a caucus, because I want to clarify my understanding. So that when I'm accessed by the media,
I can understand what is taking place. I'm not saying I want a caucus for the ANC. I want the caucus of the collective leaders who got this committee.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you, Madam. I understood that I have to give Julius better. He understands. And the AFF understands. Then I think we are talking one voice now. We are agreeing. thank you, Madam. Thanks. You're my side. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. May I just clarify, when Ms. Balashida applied for the post to be appointed as a magistrate at Delmas, she was there appointed for transformation purposes, one, and she indicated in her application documents that she is in good health. There's no problem with any bipolar mood disorder or depression, whatever the case may be. This only figured in 2009-2010, when she was absent from office, and it was for long periods, and at that stage then we requested that she be subject to a continued mental health investigation. And that is when doctors say that if she doesn't indicate or imply that she is herself, or that she herself recognizes the fact that she has bipolar mood disorder and take her medication and go for follow-up physicians, then they could not find that she is unfit to hold the office. So that's why that procedure was done a long time ago. But since 2012, she's been back at the office. She is theoretically off on sick leave for influenza and whatever, but it's not that she is now continuously absent from office due to illness. You can't say that. So that route has been closed, and the commission did not follow that. That's why that matter has not been raised as a charge either. The fact that she is absent from office and that she without leave, that is another story. That's a different analysis, because that may be a cause of concern, and that's one of the charges also. Thank you, Chair. And I must just indicate that if a notice has already been served on Ms. Balashlet, the charges are already served on her, a notice of hearing has already been served on her, even before she has been provisionally suspended. So the Mekonot inquiry must commence within 60 days of whenever Parliament confirms this resolution. From the 17th of July, when the Minister provisionally suspended her from office, we must commence with that inquiry within 60 days thereof. So we are in the process of determining a date for the hearing and proceeding with that particular inquiry. And in 3 months' time, we need to report on the progress of the misconduct inquiry against the Parliament, which will be the other reports are also part of progress reports filed in terms of section 13(3)(f) of the Act, the next reports. So we are obliged to, and we are compelling to that. Thank you. I think the committee is compare with the magistrate according to the Act. So can we move to another progress, another report? If any, we are moving to the third report of the magistrate itself within time.
I was going to make a humble request because we have finished the report required.
Yes.
We don't read it again. Instead, just go to the report itself, please.
Okay.
If you permit. It was what the honorable the committee members were doing. They were reading exactly what was presented to us. Fortunately enough, this committee is very progressive. We usually get documents up front.
Yes.
I was humbly requesting.
Thank you very much.
And let me check, and I can ask, because I can see this one is just a request for us to endorse upliftment.
Just progress.
He has to give a congress.
Yes, it's just progress.
Okay, maybe I'll make a request at the heading of the report, because here it's written conditional upliftment of provisional suspension.
It's a progress report on conditional upliftment of provisional suspension.
And
of sharing of the ES whole.
Yes.
Whole.
Yes. Chair, I was just asking, with your permission, why the honorable member didn't declare in the rest on this matter? Because if you go to cases, the part that matters, if you go to bullet number 10, I'm not sure I'm subject to correction. There's Lucas Monapo. Chairperson, I fully consider that you take note of the report. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's right. And
Honourable Chair, you want me to proceed to the next one? Yes, I will be very brief. I did catch on what was suggested. There's two matters actually with Hawley. It is the progress of his parted matters and progress with his misconduct inquiry. The parted matters, I can just give you the figures. There were 26 parted matters. His suspicion was provisionally uplifted to deal with these parted matters. He has now finalized 17 of the 26. That's that part. The misconduct inquiry, it has been ongoing for a long time now. You will also see that from 2013 we commenced, and at various applications from Mr. Hawley's side for recusals, and I think there are 3 recusal applications at some stage. And according to the report now, which is dated now the 29th of July, it stops where this matter was postponed, proceed on 8 to 12 September. 2 dates were put down, and 13 to 17 October. The reason why we gathered 2 dates at that stage already was the witnesses are all magistrates, regional court magistrates. Mr. Hawley is also a regional court magistrate. And these witnesses have to get their courthouse right to be available, and we can't afford to have magistrates standing in a passage and wanting to be called. So what happened on the 8th of December, Mr. Hawley indicated that he'll sit down again for a week. He submitted a doctor certificate for his attorney, who was then ill, and we couldn't proceed. There was, of course, lots of objections to a further postponement on these causes. But we sit with the Constitution. We can't have an unfair hearing. He has got a right to legal representation, and we couldn't. The ruling was that there was case law and everything, lots of arguments about that. So it was postponed to the 13th of October. The witnesses for the commission are every time ready, so to sit down for next month to proceed, Mr. Chair. I don't know if there's anything else.
Thank you, sir.
We will not discuss, but because there is a report now that has been carried, I just want to check. There was a request from Mr. Hawley with regard to the presiding officer that he should be recused, and it seems he's denied. What might be the reason and why he denied it?
The one recusal application was for institutional biases, that he felt that the commission was not the right forum, and he used case law to decide on him being charged. He felt that the commission was biased towards him, and then he also did not like the decisions, or he was not satisfied with the decisions and the attitude of the presiding officer, who denied him many of his applications. There were lots of applications. It's not only recusals. And then he felt also that the presiding officer was biased towards him.
Commission Chairperson,
In this case, the person who had to decide whether his aunt had that refusal or that application is approved or not was it the same person who was presiding over his case. If that is the case, you need to reflect that if the person was the referee in the play, because I can't come and raise my concern about you, and you are the one who decides whether you accept or you reject my case.
I'm not sure. The person who was the presiding officer from the beginning,
yes,
it's the same person who heard the charges were put place before him, and he and the witnesses were, first witness was called and everything, and the refusals were before the same magistrate, and all these applications that he directed for refusal were overruled, were not allowed by the presiding officer. So he did this as the same presiding officer. He never
presiding officer. In fact, I just want to get married. Bear with me. I'm a slow thinker. Bear with me, honorable members. I want to establish. You are saying this person presided over the case. The case has been appearance of Mr. Ole, where he submitted quite a number of applications without success. In the process, then that he raises this concern that the presiding officer should be cast.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. It's the same as every time.
May I just add, if Mr. Hall is dissatisfied with that specific ruling, he can take the matter to Andre Vig, even after the hearing. But he has his legal remedies to his eligibility.
He at various times threatened to if the presiding officer did not comply to his applications, that he first wanted to have a meeting with his legal representative that was not present to advise him on the way forward to approach the High Court.
Thank you, honourable members. Can we consider this report and then carry on? Not yet the proof of post. Also, I will ask the magistrate for the additional progress report. Can you just quickly brief us what happened in that? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, would it be in order if, Honourable Day, would it be in order if I did the progress also on the formal matter now?
Okay.
Or do I understand?
I think your report in terms of remunerations and other things was, well, I think the committee wants to know what's going on.
Yes. Mr. Homo, he has been provisionally suspended from office, and there is the corruption matter against him.
I think the members, before I took a copy of your passage. Yes. Well, there is a case here, members, about petition something from the magistrate. Is it not? It's a separate matter, yes. But we need to have this progress report on remuneration for the magistrate. Is it not? Okay.
So I don't know whether we did receive that document, but this homo,
yes. You don't have? Okay. Yes, I remember.
Chairperson, the last one, she.
Yes.
The progress report we discussed.
Yes.
So if we follow the agenda, we are now we are supposed to get a briefing by the content advisor on the industry salary grievances. Then the tabling of the third term program and then closure. Even if it's not there. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I think I did mention at the beginning that we'll like also when the master are here. They have to brief us about the progress report. I think I did it in the beginning, yes. But if you feel, the committee members feel that let's do it next meeting, I don't think it's a problem.
That's a blessing. It was, that's a blessing. And we can carry on with our problems. It is before. I said, I did brief the members that after the upliftment of the provisional, then we'll ask the magistrate to an additional progress report from them. There is a document which is, I think, yes. If the feeling of the committee that we have to proceed, then the magistrate can brief us and put it in the agenda next meeting. That is not a problem.
Because I think what the magistrates are saying, they've got their report for
HOMO. Our chairperson, yeah, it is actually the first three matters were tabled before we commenced and against the secretary of the select committee. The other reports, they were in the meantime tabled by the minister, and that's why you asked them to be referred to and to be added to the agenda. I think that was the idea. Whilst we are here, the reports have already been tabled, but I'm not sure whether the members have read the reports. If that's not the case, we're willing to have it sent over in your commission, of course. But we are here to brief them on. These are reports, progress reports on misconduct inquiries, which already commenced. Some of them are even second or third reports about old matters, and these are in terms of Section 33F, which the commission is compelled to, within three monthly basis, report to Parliament the progress on each and every inquiry, misconduct inquiry.
Chair, I must come in. Chair, to me, like Chair says, that you were proposed to us that we should consider the report, but I don't remember hearing that where we're going to sort it. Because the way we adopted the agenda, we agreed that the agenda is going to be adopted this way, and then the minute, even we said the minutes will be considered at the next meeting. Now the challenge is because I don't know why the progress report was not circulated to us in advance. So if it does not really have an implication, it's just a briefing, we can go and print the report on our own. If the report is going to be tabled, then we can go and read it. It's just a briefing, a progress report. They don't need any recommendation from us. If it's just a briefing, we can go and through it like we have done and prepare ourselves for the meeting. Thank you, sir. So we can step up and go to another meeting.
Yes, sir.
Let's acknowledge that there's been a shortcoming.
Yes.
Okay, Chairperson. You noted me.
Please come on.
I think I must raise this concern. If we are going to continue doing this, we'll do injustice to ourselves. Yes, we know that we need to have progress on other cases, but it will be of significance that we are also given a chance to go through the report. So I'm appealing with the Secretariat that even though there are issues that you feel as leadership that needs to be communicated or needs just to be passed through as a matter of us noting them, it must be highlighted before we engage further. It must not be a surprise to say now we are dealing with the case of Com and we don't even know what was the matter brought forward about the set. So it must start today and end today. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think I understand the feeling of the House. Can we release the magistrate? Thank you very much, magistrate. I think you did. I'm so sorry.
Respect, I'm not sure. Some of these issues must also be cautious that there's compliance issues. And I'm not sure if we're going to outright the definition say because they were not considered in the agenda, therefore we can't discuss. I was really going to suggest with due respect but let's acknowledge erroneously there was miscommunication between the Secretariat and the Magistrate in terms of putting forth the mayor on the agenda. Humbly so, I would really urge, because even if you are saying it's just a process, no, it's not just a process. Remember, they are appearing before the committee, and anything that is being dealt with here is under oath. So I was going to urge, let's allow them to give us a briefing on the basis of that. It usually happens in any meeting where you can always have addendum in the meeting. But likewise, as Honorable Devon has just alluded, we can say, let it happen and not in future, already allow it. I know it's for the first time that we experience it, so I'm very impressed with your respect. But let's allow them, let us be brief, but we ensure that documents are secured.
That's all my wits. Thank you very much. Can you brief us, Marcel? Just get us through a few minutes.
Before the magistrate, I agree with Honorable Mohapi, but disagreeing with him on the issue of compliance. Because I know that the commission must comply. And the commission must not come to us at the 11th hour for us to adopt or to confirm whatever that they must comply about. So it is important that if ever there are cases, yes, we agree that today because they are here, if that those cases are in line, they are about to lapse in a way in terms of the legislation, they can present. But I feel that I must caution them that they must not come to us on the due date of the compliance for us to rubber stamp whatever, because we are not here to rubber stamp or whatever. So I was just saying that, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. No checks. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can you carry on, sir? That few minutes have summarized.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are obliged to within every 3 months file a report. That's why it was noted the last report is the 28th, updated the 28th of August 2014. The previous reports are already dealt with before before the elections. So this is just after the elections. There was a little bit of a problem having to deal with these reports and to have them tabled in Parliament, since they haven't had a minister appointed yet. So these reports are now, these are the first reports we do see, but there may be the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth reports already. Just to clarify, thank you, Chairperson. But we will definitely compel within the premises of the law.
Thank you, Mr. Honourable Chair. I'll start with Homer. Just for background, Mr. Homer was charged, was arrested for corruption. He was he appeared in the regional. Sorry. No, Homo. Okay, you want to start? I'm so sorry. The charge against an accused of 20 million that he faced in another country, he had to be taken to that country, and there was an application in the regional court. Mr. Homo is allegedly participated and to influence the outcome of an appeal for extradition put by the complainant in this particular matter, and an amount of 150,000 was offered. They did come up with the money. They handed the money over to Mr. Homo in a briefcase. The police walked into his office just after he had received it, and the person who gave it to him walked out. The money was recovered. The money was there was photocopies of the money before it was handed over to him. So he is being charged, and we have also submitted a charge with misconduct. We have got a request from the NPA not to proceed with our misconduct immediately, because they feel that it could impact on their criminal charges against Mr. Homo. It could, if we get the witness to testify, and before they testify in a criminal matter, it might impact on their prejudice, their case. So we are in that situation. At this stage, the criminal matter has been remanded to the 3rd of October for Mr. Hormating fact and attorney, whereafter a date for trial has been set down. Well, will be set. That is the new situation at this stage, Mr. Chair. I'm on the chair.
Thank you. Yes, Honourable
Chair, you've noted.
Thank you, Honourable Member. It's noted. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, may I just proceed to Ms. Van Skalk again? She's the Chief Magistrate of Kempton Park. She was charged with 24 charges of misconduct. This was served on her on the 1st of August 2013. Her attorney acknowledged a feat thereof. I think these were in the newspapers as well. Chairperson, on 7 October 2013, Mr. Kutsier was acting on behalf of Mr. Van Skalk. Mr. Van Skalk filed a written objection to the Commission against the appointment of the Chief Magistrate of Pretoria to lead the evidence at the misconduct hearing. In his response, the Commission advised Mr. Kutsier that Mr. Meneer has been duly appointed and that he, in terms of applicable legislation, that his duties and functions are different to those of the presiding officer. He was further advised to raise any objections in this regard to the correct forum, which will be before the presiding officer at the disciplinary hearing. Then she requested numerous further particulars. She's been charged with 24 counts of misconduct. There are about 20 questions and about particulars to be forwarded. So there was a numerous and a voluminous documents which had to be perused. These were submitted to her. Not per se, but all the statements were given to the defense to enable them to prepare for the hearing. And I just want to note that it's not according to the report on page 3, a date for a pretrial conference had to be still to be determined. That falls away, Chairperson. That has been changed now. The officer leading evidence, Mr. Nair, proceeded to set the matter down for trial, and it has been noted that we just received confirmation that the date of trial will be 6 and 7 October 2014 to commence. The disciplinary inquiry, there will be no pre-trial conference, but the inquiry will commence on the 6th and the 7th of October 2014. Thank you. Members? Yes, sir.
Shall be matter of consistency. If you check out of the report that you get, under discussion you always get, even if it's not an outright detail of the all count of charges, but you don't always forget. But what I see strange is if Mr. Pascal being there's nothing that stipulates whether the charges are case 24 counts of misconduct. Maybe if you can just finish it, then I would really appeal to any person who might sit there with the same name, or read the other names, if you have sent on the position, I'm just appealing to honorable the committee members. Consistency, I think, is important. It doesn't operate.
I noted the concerns. The provision suspension was confirmed, and that's when we briefed the committee, the previous committee, on this matter. But
I cases are emanating from 2004, but you still reflect what were the issues that were raised there. So I'm saying consistency is important on our side.
Okay. I think we...
So what you mean is that if the members want the
detail... Date of the years.
Of the...
Yes. We'll indicate in the next report to your person. Proceed with Mr. Meraki. Chairperson, this matter also comes from Mr. Meraki. I've got the agenda. Mm-hmm.
person, Mr. Murat, has been charged with these kinds of misconduct, inter alia of theft. I think there in the discussion we have noted the allegations against him. So they are stipulated there. Although this is not inclusive of all charges, Jefferson, the commission proceeded with all these charges on the 23rd of April 2012. Mr. Muraki actually changed from counsel and from attorneys. And he also made a case out that we should await the outcome of the criminal trial before we could file with the disciplinary inquiry. We then had a few charges also, and a new charge was served on him, and we changed the charge sheet in the sense that, with the permission of the commission, that we would charge him for contravening the code of conduct in the sense that he's not found guilty of an offence, but on the actus reus itself, instructed the senior counsel mutual agreements. We fortunately both parties had an opportunity to engage in consultation in an attempt to limit the issues and disputes and other charges. On some of the charges we already led evidence, and the matter is partly heard and stands postponed for the 15th and the 16th of October for further hearing and argument. We hope that we will conclude this matter at least all this year. He's currently not receiving any remuneration. He's previously suspended from office.
Thank you. Members? Yes, Alderman Shanga.
Lord Chair, I wanted to say we noted, take note of the
cases noted. I think the last one would be Rambo.
Thank you, Chair. Is it Mr. Rambo? Mr. Rambo was charged criminally on the charge of corruption, in that he was arrested together with a prosecutor and an attorney on the 8th of February 2010, appeared before the regional court in Limpopo. It is alleged that he and the prosecutor and the attorney arranged the outcome of a trial by predetermining the sentence for financial reward. Like I said, they were all charged with corruption. The state affairs have been closed in the criminal matter, and it takes about 2 years now. He has so many applications for recusal inter alia of the magistrate, the presiding officer, who is a regional president, regional magistrate. He a lot of other points he raised in limine the criminal trial on review and appealed. The review was set aside. The application was dismissed. He's now intending to take the matter on appeal. This appeal was turned down, and now he is to petition to the full bench of the High Court in the Gauteng of the High Court. We, in the meantime, proceeded to charge him with misconduct. Jefferson, we had a difficulty in the sense that to proceed with the disciplinary inquiry, since he asked us to await the outcome of the disciplinary, the criminal trial, since it is a very complicated matter, and the issues that his attorney or his advocate did not raise in the criminal matter, he raised this as points in dispute in the disciplinary inquiry. So he now requested the matter to be postponed 3 days pending the outcome of the criminal trial. The presiding officer granted this postponement, but the commission is not just happy with it, because we were trying to still proceed with the disciplinary inquiry. So just placing the matter before the full commission to get in direction as to proceed with the matter. In the meantime, the person of the evidence has been instructed by the chairperson of the commission in writing to put the matter on the roll again, to have the disciplinary inquiry either set down for a specific date or to continue with the disciplinary inquiry. But I still have to engage.
Yeah, Ramwana, and then you.
Chairperson.
I wanted to ask this question because I'm tempted to say, this Rambau, why don't it be just dismissed because he's got a criminal record? As well as got a case. In the enrollment has been defined as a criminal. So what is the problem? And the issue that disturbs me most is the time for these things are taking too long. So I wanted to understand this issue, say they've got a problem. What is the problem when a person has got a criminal record?
Thank you. I'm happy.
Listen, my exactly concern was not one as observed in terms of most of the cases that we're dealing with. Either way, they are having element of bribery in between. And I'm just asking myself, what then is the role of the ethics committee in terms of coming up with packages that really assist, minimize levels of bribery within the judiciary?
Hmm.
It's really worrying, honestly. I'm not sure whether the ethics committee only really, it's also a concern to me. I'm just asking myself, is there any mechanisms in place? If not, I would really ask that the ethics committee here develops strategies. I know it can't be uprooted outright, but it can be a process, provided we have also strategies in place that would really assist. Thanks.
Thanks, Chen. I think we will take note of the report and the recommendation. Of course, considering that the ethics committee, they are still going to pursue the matter after it went through the court role. But again, we must, of course, understand that a person is guilty until is innocent up until found guilty by the court. And of course, as they have reported that they have suspended the disciplinary hearings because of the court rule. And let's take out of the report until such time that they come back and do the things to us. Thank you.
Must said want to say something.
Thank you, Chair.
Before you say that, the honourable member.
Before. Chair, I think the move was that we adopt this for next. So I don't see a need for us to go through and discuss other issues because these were tabled for us just to note them. Then we'll discuss because.
Order, honorable members. Must say, can you go to the kitchen? One session says in CF in its complex, and it's actually not just to be noted, Chairperson. It is read an inquiry referred to in paragraph E, that's the misconduct inquiry, must be concluded as soon as possible, and the Commission must cause a report on the focus and respect of the inquiry to be submitted to Parliament every 3 months. It's be done now. Parliament may, at any stage, pending the conclusion of an inquiry or a resolution referred to in subsection 4C, that's the dismissal, pass a resolution setting aside the suspension of the matter's consent, whereupon the suspension shall lapse forthwith. So it's for you to consider, you can note the report, but you also may, if you think there's an unreasonable delay, whatever the reason may be, to uplift the suspension. But with regard, just to clarify, Mr. Rambau has not been found guilty as yet. It's only the state's case. It's been closed. So he's still to defend himself, and he's in a battle with the law in that regard. With regard to Mr. Mohali's concerns, we have a judicial quality assurance assessment component with the Commission. And we have also judicial quality assurance magistrates outside, that's on each and every cluster, in each and every province. These are senior magistrates who go and visit each and every office, magistrates' offices, in a certain period of time.
to conduct an assessment of judicial work of each and every judicial officer at that specific office. So in that regard, we may pick up problems, which we do. But it's difficult to foresee that a magistrate will not take a bribe. And it's only one or two threat. But we know that it's a chairperson.
Thank you very much, Magistrate Commissioner. Thank you for your commitment on this department. And I also want to thank the honorable members. You know what dealing with the law implementers here. We need to be so much as we can. The magistrates, those are the people who tomorrow are going to fend them off. And I like that honorable Mohapi. They are always in the, something that is common here is corruption. I don't understand magistrate getting proof gifts, plastic bags. You know, which means we are still need to be. You know, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, commission, you need to be strong. Thank you very much for your commitment. I can see that you support it on that, but because of your commitment, you are here to brief us. Thank you very much for your time. We may release you. And then, the content advisor, quickly, she's going to just brief us. Please. You can see that we've got lawyers here in the UK. I think that just...
I just want to check on the comments that you have made that we need to be sober. There's a certain plan that we're not sober. You said the committee should be sober. I just want to check. I'm implying that we're not sober. When we
are... I don't remember. It's just a term. That you are sober like a judge. That is... sober. Order, honor member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members, I have just to ask to brief the committee to really contextualize the issue of the magistrate grievances related to their salaries. It was an issue that was substantial in the fourth parliament, and it was thought that I should just do a briefing for information purposes for the committee, because we've also been approached once again by the different role players in respect of the remuneration. So there have been court judgments in respect of this particular issue, which I just briefly want to mention to the committee members, and also to just suggest, in terms of actually just really highlighting the sections in the Magistrates Court Act and the legislation, in terms of the guidelines that the committee should in fact be following in respect of being approached by the grievance letters of the different bodies. So, I've given you a document. I mean, you can read through this at your own leisure. I'm just going to take you very briefly through some of the key issues. There are about four role players in this whole issue related to the magistrate's grievances and the salaries. You have the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, which in terms of Section 8 and Section 12, Section 8 of the ICRBOP Act and Section 12 of the Magistrate Act, requires this particular commission to make recommendations relating to the salaries, benefits, and allowances of magistrates on an annual basis. This commission usually makes these recommendations to the president. You have the Lower Court Remuneration Committee, which was formed subsequent to a request in May 2011 by the then Chief Justice to have a single committee to advise him on matters related to salaries, benefits, and allowances of magistrates. Then you have the ASA, which is the Judicial Officers Association, and it is a non-profit voluntary association which represents approximately 1,300 judicial officers of all ranks. That includes magistrates, senior magistrates, regional court magistrates, chief magistrates, and regional court presidents. Then you have AMSA, which is the Association for Regional Magistrates South Africa, which is a body representing the interests of permanently appointed regional magistrates. Now, in last year, the committee was also, while it is in the fourth, let me just refer to it as the fourth parliament, the committee was also approached at various points around different grievances. The grievances really, in essence, relate to differences in salary levels between magistrates, prosecutors also, magistrates feeling that prosecutors have higher salaries than what they have, that there has been really no proper review or consideration taken in terms of the different roles, etc. Consultation is lacking and transparency. There are various issues, and if members receive the correspondence from JOASA and AMSA, you'll get better sense of the issues that they've been raising. But in essence, what is important is the court judgments. In 2010, the issue of the recommendations from the commission came for the president, and at that time, the president recommended a 5% increase. Initially, the commission had recommended a 7% annual remuneration increase, but the president then, in terms of the relevant legislation, had to consult with the Minister of Finance, who then advised him that in terms of the CPI, it would make more sense in terms of budget that the 5% increase then be taken into account. First, it was then recommended, and a notice was published. It was also approved by the NA and the NCLP. AMSA, which is the association which I just mentioned, the Association for Regional Magistrates of South Africa, then took this matter to the High Court on the basis that it felt that the president had heard and that there was in fact grounds to take him an administrative review in terms of his decision. Among some of their concerns were also the fact that they had not been duly consulted sufficiently, etc. The High Court then set aside the president's decision, the 5%, and ordered the president to make a new decision. Now, it was at this point when the Security Committee, the Select Committee, in fact had to consider what it was in fact going to do. And at that point, the legal advisor in Parliament came and delivered a legal opinion to the committee, and the committee then decided that this matter should be referred back to the president for further consideration. Now, at that stage of proceedings, the matter hadn't been taken on to appeal yet. So, towards the end of 2012, the matter was then taken on to appeal. The present action, the court held, was executive and not administrative in nature. And the decision was made after duly consulting all relevant parties. The court therefore considered that the commission had in fact taken the recommendations of JOASA, etc. into account. It had also taken that the president had duly consulted with the Minister of Finance, and that therefore this exercise, and as things were set out in legislation, particularly the Magistrates Court Act, in terms of proceedings, was in fact followed. AMSA also further argued that the Commission had applied a blanket approach in its recommendations, failing to treat its members as a category of public office bearers were previously left out, and hence that there hadn't been correct decision-making or consideration taken in terms of the different roles, status, duties, functions, etc. But the court found that the commission in its process did in fact take into account all these roles and responsibilities, and the processes before the commission and the president were therefore found to be rational by constitutional court. So basically the High Court order was in set aside, turned over, and the court found that the president in accepting the recommendation of the commission was correct, and particularly in terms of making the recommendation of the 5%. It's also very important to mention that the court did acknowledge the increase, this is the constitutional court now, the increased load carried by regional magistrates, and how that it is important that the conditions of service, including remuneration, are adequate and consistent with the scheme envisaged by the constitution and relevant legislation. Now, in terms of moving forward, I'm starting to really brief the committee on what the legislation is in terms of the role of this committee. A referral to the committee for a matter tabled in terms of Section 8.5 of the ICPRBOB Act is for information and engagement purposes in preparation for its own ideas and consideration once that it is tabled for purposes of approving or disapproving President's determination in terms of Section 12B of the Magistrates Act. So the President's determination really comes at the end of the process of the Commission, and in the Commission having taken that to the Chief Justice and into the Minister of Finance, and then it comes to the President, we also will then come to this committee. Basically, in terms of the guidelines also provided by the Act and by the case law, Parliament may not directly engage in the consultation processes required for purposes of the determination of salary increases and the remuneration of public office bearers. Parliament is constitutionally obliged to monitor and maintain oversight of the exercise of the National Executive Authority, which means then that if the committee decides once to engage with the various role players, it could do so, but it is not required to do so. It is not required to engage in the consultation process. A better way of perhaps dealing with all the letters that are coming through the committee may very well be to perhaps put pressure on the department to find out what's happening on their side. But at the end of the day, it's really up to the committee to decide how to go forward. But that's what the legislation says, Chair, in terms of how to really engage or deal with these various role players around the remuneration issue, which usually does come up this time of the year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do you want to comment, committee members?
Thank you, Chairperson. The question that I'm asking, the issue of public office bearers' remuneration is the prerogative of the president and or is the prerogative of the commissioner, Justice Mufaneke. If that is the case, did they approach the justice who is leading in terms of public office bearers remuneration? That's the first question. Or second question, as a committee, can we have an access to Justice Mufaneke and round the issues of public remuneration in the magistrate issues? As that has been, or can we make a recommendation to him for consideration? Those are issues that I want to have a clear around.
Chair, I think I appreciate the presentation, and therefore you see, and I think I like the conclusion that her last remarks, which talks to what is required and what is not required of the committee to do, and given the fact that this is quite a sensitive matter, Chair, and in the one of the issues is that the Justice Department, in response in the previous, in the fourth term, in response to to the complaints. They came and made a presentation in terms of how they are progressively closed the gap. Because magistrates, since time immemorial, were treated in the previous regime before 1994, were simply treated as commissioners or public servants, so to speak. So that gap between them and the judges, or them and any other public office bearers, has never been properly closed, to an extent where the indication was that even some prosecutors are earning far better than the magistrate, and yet magistrates are of a higher office, so to speak. So I think, Chair, I'm proposing that let's resolve to call the justice people who assist with the matter, I don't know which unit, to come and do a presentation to the committee, so we are able to freely interrogate them in as far as this processing of the matters. It might be that we also need to bring the people from Treasury, that kind of thing. But it's because there was work that they said they were doing in processing the closing of gap to bring them on standard. It's not only them, Chair. It's also we do approve the Prosecutors Act. I think if the Coroner Advisor also go to work, because from time to time there are issues around how there was amendments as well in that act that is providing remuneration for prosecutors and other issues. So I think let's get the department as part of our work generally to that they brief us in terms of these issues. There might be even issues of OST that are involved. So let's get a total picture. Let them work into the program. I'm proposing that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Zumande, my wife. Do you want to comment? Yeah. Do another one I want? Yes. Okay. Thank you. This report is noted. Therefore, we can just do the last item, tabling of third term program. Can we do it, Sasha?
Members, we tabled our draft third term program.
It's confusing me now, it's dislodging me. I thought I was proposing the Justice Department. He says I'm seconding one on calling Judge Shiriti.
Sir, I can correct that.
It's Mohapi who say, Mohapi is saying that one is calling for a judge, for the commission.
Okay, over to you, Secretary.
Honourable members. Honourable members, just to quickly take you through the third term program, which is from 14 October to 28 November. Yes, it's the third program because we've only had three quarters. Wednesday, 15 October, we've scheduled two reports that were referred to the committee for consideration and report. The one is the Conventional Arms Control Committee first quarterly report, and we are inviting the National Conventional Arms Control Committee to give us a briefing on their report. Then also there's a convention, a United Nations Convention on Cluster Munitions, which the Department of Defense will brief us on. It's tabled in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, which the committee must approve. And then also we were referred a matter which was nomination of an MP of the NCP to the Equality Review Committee, but I saw last week when I was in the NCP that has since been removed from the ADC. So we will remove that third item from the program. Then from the 21st to 24th October, there's an NCLP Oversight Week, which is scheduled. We have made application with the SE COCTA, who will be doing a visit to Abakulusi local municipality and Mboti. We, based on our previous engagement with the SAT planning, the committee would then just slot in a time slot in the evening or late afternoon to deal with an oversight on a police station, or if we're in an area where there is a child justice center, then we would like to go and visit vulnerable groups in that one. Then 29th of October, it will be a briefing by the Department of Justice on progress made of the magistrate's grievances in respect of salary adjustments. We've already preempted discussions to schedule that. And then there's a draft report on from our side from the 2014 first quarter report, which we will deal with at that time. Then the 5th to the 7th November, there's an oversight visit to Kapteng Center on vulnerable groupings. This is also again in conjunction with the helicopter. And we will also have quite a bit of input to make there, because a lot of the children's issues relate to the police and diversion. I'm sorry, Honorable, do you mind? Your mic is on. Sorry. And then the following week we hope to have our oversight visit reports tabled, and then we're not scheduled it yet, but during this period we will be getting the magistrate and judges' salary remunerations that we would need to schedule, but we have left enough time open to deal with that. And then 15th to the 23rd agenda, there's a joint international study tour with cocktail petitions and security to India and Zambia. That's still going through the process of approval, so I don't have any more information to give members on it.
Anna, don't want to go to India. Citizen, call me. I'm proposing to adopt the proposed agenda program for the third court.
I'm in Savannah.
The secretary will provide you with a program. I think, honourable members, is the end of our program now. And I want to thank again the honourable members for their commitment. And you are a wonderful committee, I'm telling you, honourable members. If we are doing like this, we are going somewhere. We are taking this South Africa forward. Thank you, our whip, for your wavering, giving direction to the committee. Thank you very much for your thank you very much, all members. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Oh, for Sora.
Yeah. Okay, hold on now. Okay, what?
Believe me.
Thank you.
Thank you.